Earth and sky.
Clouds, since they reflect sunlight back to space, can cool the Earth. And then clouds also, on the other hand, can heat the planet in a greenhouse sense.
You're listening to Bruce Wilicki of NASA, and this is Earth Skies Clear Voices for Science. Wilicki is the principal investigator for the CERES mission. That stands for Clouds and the Earth's Radiant Energy System. Earth's energy system is driven by sunlight. Wilicki spoke with Earth Skies' Jorge Salazar about how clouds affect the energy Earth receives, keeps, and emits back to space, what scientists call Earth's energy balance.
Dr. Wilicki, welcome to Earth Skies, Clear Voices for Science.
Glad to be here.
Well, so we're here to talk about Earth's energy balance. Tell us about Earth's energy balance. What is it? What's important about it? And what should people know about it?
Well, that's a good question. I think a lot of us have heard about climate and climate change. Some of the public, I give a lot of public lectures, are kind of confused about the difference between weather and climate, and this is actually a good way to get into it, I think. Weather is really those dynamic forces you see out there with winds, clouds, rain. To us in climate, that's kind of noise, actually. Climate is the long-term average of all those temperature, wind, humidity patterns that we see. And those long-term patterns are really driven by the energy balance of the planet. And that's really what our mission is about. We do the radiation balance or energy balance of the planet. And in simplest sense, the sunlight coming to us, about half of it's absorbed by the Earth at the surface, another 20% in the atmosphere itself, and then about a third of it we reflect back to space. It doesn't actually get absorbed by the Earth, mostly by cloud. And then we have to get rid of all that heat, and we do that through the thermal infrared. It's basically whatever temperature water vapor in the atmosphere or surface is at radiates infrared out to space. You don't see this with your eyes like you do sunlight, but if you hold your hand up to a fire, that kind of heat you feel radiating off that is that infrared radiation that you can't see with your eyes. So the energy balance of the planet is therefore the amount of sunlight we gather, and then the temperature we have to be at to emit, and basically the amount of radiation we emit from any particle or emission target on the Earth goes as the fourth power of the temperature. So there's a very strong relationship between temperature and cooling of the planet. Therefore, you can see anything we do to affect that relationship will then affect the climate, meaning the temperature and all the rest of the system. So that's kind of it in a nutshell.
Would you mind maybe telling us a little bit about maybe some of the different ways that scientists measure Earth's energy balance? And I understand that the energy that's coming from the sun, it's going all over the place. Fill us in, please.
Yes, that's a good way to describe it in terms of going all over the place. The sunlight coming in is some of it scattered off clouds back out to space, but some of it absorbed by water vapor in the atmosphere, some absorbed by the surface. And that radiation is what then is really the driver for all the dynamics you see in the atmosphere, the winds. It's the fact that the more sunlight and heat at the tropics and less at the poles means you've got to get energy from the equator to the pole. That's what drives the big atmospheric wind circulations like our winter storms, the temperature gradient that occurs because of all that heat at the tropics versus the poles. And then what we do from space is be able to measure that flow of energy, both the sunlight coming to the Earth. There's a mission called SOURCE, which measures the actual solar output. And then our instrument that we do at Langley called CERES, Clouds in the Earth's Radiant Energy System, instead of looking at the sun, we're looking at the Earth from space. And we can see all the sunlight reflected back that never gets absorbed. And we can see all the infrared radiation the planet's emitting out. So we literally try to cover the entire wavelength space of energy that's going into the planet, coming out of the planet, both reflected and emitted. And we do that over the whole globe twice a day from each satellite. And then we put together basically a picture of how the Earth's radiation balance or energy balance is changing with season, with month, with place on the globe, whether it's a desert, the ice caps, or just the mid-ocean.
Well, yeah, thank you. Could you tell us a little bit more about the science work that you do involving studying Earth's clouds with instruments aboard a satellite that was launched by NASA, the Terra satellite?
That's a good question, too. I actually started my career as a physical oceanographer, studying things like ocean sea surface temperatures, currents, kind of a dynamics of the ocean. But as I got into that problem back in the 70s, climate change was just coming into the radar screen for a lot of the science community. And I spent a summer out at Woods Hole learning about clouds and climate system, energy balance. And at that time, just put cloud feedback. Basically, by that, we just mean as the climate warms, how do the clouds change? And you have to remember the clouds, since they reflect sunlight back to space, can cool the Earth. You know this from days you're out on the beach. If there's direct sunlight on you, you're a lot hotter than if a cloud gets between you and the sun, blocking it and reflecting some of it away. The Earth has the same effect. And then clouds also, on the other hand, can heat the planet in the greenhouse sense. Greenhouse in that if the Earth were just a simple rock ball radiating to space, it's very simple to calculate our temperature from the amount of sunlight we collect. But that's not the way the Earth really works. We have this atmosphere, and the atmosphere is not transparent to all infrared radiation. In fact, water vapor and carbon dioxide in particular block a lot of that energy that's trying to come from the surface, and then they re-radiate it at much colder temperatures up in the atmosphere. And that colder temperature means the emission to space is lower, so that's this greenhouse effect. That it's almost like, when you go out in the winter, putting your coat on and insulating your loss of heat out of your body to control that energy balance. The Earth's doing the same thing with CO2 and water vapor. And when you stick a cloud in there, a cloud also tends to block some of that radiation getting out to space and re-emits it at the colder cloud temperature. So what clouds are doing is both a solar cooling and an infrared heating, and it's the combination of the two that determines their net overall effect. Now, on total, clouds right now in the current climate system are cooling the planet about 20 watts per meter squared. If you think about that, that's about a fifth of a 100-watt light bulb every square meter or 3-foot square on the planet. That doesn't sound like a lot until you realize that the kind of balances we're talking about in doubling CO2 that could change 3-4 degrees centigrade in global temperature or 7 or 8 degrees Fahrenheit is only about 4 watts per meter squared. So clouds are a much bigger effect than that. But the real key is if the clouds stay the same, then it doesn't matter much. But as you warm the climate system, if we get fewer clouds or more clouds, or they get higher and colder, meaning they're more effective greenhouses, then we change that balance between the infrared and warming and solar cooling effect of clouds. And that's what this feedback's all about.
That was cloud expert Bruce Wilicki at NASA's Langley Research Center. He was speaking with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar. Our thanks today to NASA. Explore, discover, understand. You can subscribe to this and other free science podcasts on our website. Just visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird for Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
We're at earthsky.org.